We're in Shmuel Beis, Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Yud Ches. Avshalom won the hearts of the people. Everyone was backing Avshalom. So David left. David left Yerushalayim. He obviously felt that once Avshalom saw that he abdicated, and he just left, he would be safe, so he left by foot. And he left, all he left behind were the Eser Noshim Pilagshim. He left behind the Pilagshim, the concubines, to guard the house. He figured everything would be safe. And once Avshalom saw that he had voluntarily left, he wasn't putting up a fight, Avshalom would leave him be, and everything would be okay. And this would be part of his tshuva. He was warned that this would happen. He was told that from his own household there was going to be a rebellion. There would be some evil coming out of his own house. And he realized this was the Ratzon Hashem. This was his punishment. And he accepted it. Of course, leaving the women behind, we'll see, seems to have been a mistake. It said earlier in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, when David was told that from his own household there'd be somebody who would arise against him, it said, that his wives would be given to somebody else, and somebody else would live with his wives. But David left behind the Pilagshim. And they left. The king and everyone with him left, and they stayed in this house at a distance from Yerushalayim. They gathered there. Pasuk Yirches. V'chol avodav ovrim al yodo. All of David HaMelech's servants were passing by him. In other words, at least his household and his servants stayed faithful. They were all there. V'chol avodav, all of his servants passed by. V'chol akreisi, v'chol aplesi. These were the simple meaning of the Krasi and Plasi. This is the names of the families. As the Ralbag said, these were families who were exceedingly wise. And from these families, the Sanhedrin, they comprised the members of the Sanhedrin. Another pshat, the Targum brings down in the Radak, that it means those who, the archers, those who shoot with a bow and arrow, and those who utilize the slingshots, or the catapults, they're v'chol ha'kreisi v'chol ha'pleisi. Chazal say it means the Urim v'tumim, that was the Kohen Gadol would wear in the choshen, in that special breastplate. He had the Urim v'tumim from which he could ask questions and get divine guidance. So David, all of David's servants were passing, v'chol ha'kreisi v'chol ha'pleisi, v'chol ha'gitim, and all the people from Gas. Gas was the territory under the control of the Plishtim. And David had been there when he fled from Shaul. When he returned, there were many people from the Hittim who accompanied him. And they remained with him this whole time for all these decades. And now, v'chol ha-gitim sheish mi'osish, all of the Gitim with 600 men, ashebo v'raglo migas, they came because of David. They came from Gas. Ovrim al pnei ha-melech, and they were all passing by in front of the king, and the king was seeing exactly who was with him, who was backing him, what type of a force he had, who was with him. Vayomer ha-melech el Itai ha-giti. Now the king says to Itai ha-giti. Itai was the leader of this whole group of 600 men from Gas. Loma selech gam ata itonu. Why should you also go with us? Shuv, return, v'shevim ha-melech, and live with the king. Stay with the king. You see here, in one moment, that Avshalom was rebelling against him, and yet he accepted that this was the Ratzon Hashem, and he refers to his son, the rebellious Avshalom, as the king. Or stay with the king. He's now the king, and that's what Hashem wants. Stay with the king. Ki nochri atzah, because you're a nochri. Now, there's a discussion who these people from Gas were. The Radak brings down, there are those who say they were Goyim. And I guess they recognized David HaMelech, and that David had lived there, and they accompanied him, but they were goyim. And in which case, kinoch riata would mean, you're a nochri, in other words, you shouldn't have to go through the suffering the Jews are going through. You're not part of, there's no reason why you should suffer with us. But the Radak says, well, if he died, it appears to me that they were Yisraelim, they were Yidden, and they lived in Gass, or they were born in Gass, but they were all Jews. And his point, kinoch riata, is that you're a stranger, you came from Gass, so you came back with me to Yerushalayim. But it's not like you're even, this is not your home turf. V'gam gol atolim komecha. And you should go back. One meaning could be you're right now being exiled from your place. Or it could be saying, go and return back. Rashi brings down the pshat. Go back and stay with Avshalom. Kinoch riata, because you're a stranger and you don't know the people here. I'm on the run. Who knows where tomorrow's meal is going to come from. We're at the mercy of whichever inhabitants we encounter. And if you're not one of us, kinoch riata, you grew up in Gass, you're not from this area, people aren't going to have compassion on you. And therefore it's going to be a lot more difficult for you to manage than we. We'll have a way to manage. But you should go back, kinoch riata. And even if you don't want to be together with Avshalom, v'gam gol atolim komecha. So go back to your place and go back to Gass. Go back to your home territory. But to come with us is not advisable. T'mol bo'echa. Just yesterday you came. V'hayom aniach imanu. And today I'm going to cause you to move around and to wander with us. Lo leches, to go. Vani holech, al asher ani holech. I don't even have a destination. I'm going, vani holech, I'm going, al asher ani holech, wherever I'm going. The main point is I have to go. I have to leave Yerushalayim, so I'm going, and I have no destination. My point is just to get out of the city, to get away from Avshalom. For hashev esachecha imach, return your brothers with you. When you go back, whether you go to Yerushalayim or you go to Gass, take the 600 men with you, chesed ve'emes. And what you've done, your willingness to join me, your friendship, is a chesed, a kindness, ve'emes, and a truth. Poshet, you're a true friend. And the Mefarshim say what David was telling him was, I hope I'll be able to repay your concern for me. If I'm able to, then it'll be emes, then it'll be truth. In other words, your actions, you'll see the truth of it, that what you did for me will be repaid. And if not, it'll be a chesed. You do a kindness without seeing the reward. But what you've done is a chesed ve'emes, whether I can reciprocate or not. I'm aware of the fact that you're willing to go with me, and that's very, very valuable and meaningful. And of course, you see in these psukim the contrast between David HaMelech, who has a son Avshalom who's rebelling against him, and at the same point you have this nochri, a stranger, this group of people from Gass, who are willing to leave and go on the run and wander with David HaMelech wherever he goes. Vayan Itzai es HaMelech. Itzai responded to the king, Vayomar, and he said, Chai Hashem! I swear by a Lashon Shavua, he swears with the name of Hashem, V'chai Adoni HaMelech, and by the life of the king, Ki Bamokom, it's written the word im, but it's read without it. And the meaning is similar, but Ki Bimakom Asher Yiyasham Adoni HaMelech, and the place where my master the king will be, Im L'moves, Im L'chayim, whether it's for death or it's for life, wherever you are going to be, David HaMelech, Kishom Yavdecha. That is where your servant will be. As I don't have to go with you, but I want to go with you. I want to go and I go through whatever suffering, whatever tribulation David HaMelech is going to have. I'm prepared to go with you. Vayomer David El Itai. So when David heard that, David said to Itai, Leich Vavor, go and pass by me, pass with the rest of the troops. Vayavar Itzai Hagiti, so Itzai Hagiti passed over V'chol Anosha with all of his men. V'chol Atafa Sherito, it seems they had families, they had little children. So it wasn't just 600 soldiers, he had V'chol Atafa, he had children accompanying him. But they all went as a show of support. They all went for David HaMelech, that he is the king, and if he's wandering, they'll go with him. V'chol ha'aretz bochim kol gadol. The whole land, everyone around was crying with a tremendous, a kol gadol, loud cries. V'chol am ovrim, they're crying, and everyone is passing away from the city, continuing journeying. V'amelech over v'nachal Kidron. The king was passing through the valley of Kidron. Kidron is a valley that's, nowadays it's also called Nachal Kidron. It's outside of Yerushalayim, on the side of Har HaZeisim. There's Nachal Kidron in that area. I saw some learn that the word Kedar can mean dark. You have a number of places in Tanakh, Ka'ohale Kedar, like the tents that are from a dark skin, you know, it's not Greek, it's a dark color. Or Alvi Shamayim Kadrus, when the sky is dark, it's called also with that term of Kedar. They were dark. And it also says in that area, they had goldsmiths, and they used to have smelting and melting down metals. So I was thinking it could be the pshat is, the Gemara says in Baba Kama, on Daf Pei Beis, they had ten things were said about Yerushalayim. And one of them was they had a zoning law. In Yerushalayim, you couldn't have furnaces that emit smoke because it would blacken the wall and it wouldn't be good for the city. So in Yerushalayim, you didn't have furnaces. So it could be on a simple level. I would think it could be in Kidron. They left outside the city, and this valley is where it could be they had all these factories and they did smelting and melting down metals, and it was a place that might have had a lot of soot. But whatever it is, it's called Nachal Kidron. That's the name of the area. V'cholam Ovrim, everyone else was passing al pnei derech by the road as Hamidbor toward the desert. They were leaving. They were going toward the desert. V'hine gam tzodok, and behold, it was also tzodok. V'chol ha'levim ito, and he had all the levim with him. Nosim es aron briso elokim. They were carrying the aron briso elokim, the aron of Hashem. Vayatziku es aron hu elokim, and they push it. It means vayatziku is like, as Rashi says, vayatziku. They put down the aron. They were traveling with the aron. They put it down. Vayal Avyosar, and Avyosar went up to be next to the aron, like an honor guard. They put down the aron. They didn't abandon it. Avyosar stood there. Avyosar was serving as the Kohen Gadol at this point, and Avyosar went and he stood with the aron. Atom kol ha'am lavor min ha'ir. Until all the people had finished leaving the city on their way out of Yerushalayim, and in the meantime, he waited together with the Aron. Another pshat is vayatziku can mean like kilashem mitzuke eretz. Vayatziku can mean like in a fortress, in a strong place, that they took the Aron and possibly they put it on a rock, on a high protected area, and vayal of Yosef, so of Yosef went up to stand with the Aron. The pasuk begins vihine. Vihine is a term, behold, it's a chiddush, it's something unexpected. What happened here was very unexpected, because they took the Aron Bris Elokim. That was the Aron in which you had the Luchos and the Shivrei Luchos. It was the Aron that had been captured by the Plishtim when they took it out from Mishkan Shiloh. This was the Aron. And the Aron was in Yerushalayim. No, it had a tent. It was in a special place in Yerushalayim. And it seems that the Kohanim and the Levim decided on their own that it would be proper to take the Aron to be together with David. Could be they figured that the Urim V'Tumim were used in the presence of the Aron. And they didn't want it to be of any assistance to Avshalom. Possibly they figured, besides, Avshalom shouldn't have access. It should be with David. David could benefit from having the Aron with him. Or stam the zechus of bringing the Aron with, bringing the Aron would be a zechus that would help out David. Vayal Avyosar. Avyosar went up. Chazal learned Vayal Avyosar. Avyosar was actually removed from his position. Now what happened was they asked the Aron a question. They asked the Urim V'Tumim a question. And Avyosar was supposed to be the one to, he asked and he was supposed to get the answer, which didn't happen. So Rav Yossi was realized min hashamayim that Rav Yossi should no longer be the Kohen Gadol, and it should go to Tzadok. In their lineage, way back to, at the beginning of Shmuel, Eli HaKohen had two sons that were not serving properly. They were not doing their job properly with a kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there was a curse given. And it was told that he would have children that would no longer be the leaders, would no longer be running the show in the Mishkan or in the Beis HaMikdash. V'hibatata tsar mo'on. In the dwelling place of Hashem, they would cease the competition in charge. Aaron HaKoyin had two sons. There was that survived, that lived after Nodav and Avihu were Nifter. There was Elozer and Isamar. From Isamar descended Eli HaKoyin. There was a different line of lineage coming from Elozer. Elozer had the son Pinchas, the famous Pinchas, who became the Kohen also after he killed Zimri. But that lineage of Pinchas was where Tzadok could trace his rights to Kahuna. At this point, there was a change that Rav Yossi was not answered with the Urim V'Tumim, and it was decided, David HaMelech realized that Tzadok would be the Kohen. It wasn't actually put into effect until Shlomo HaMelech made the Beis HaMikdash, and then they anointed him with a special Shemen HaMishcha, but already it was recognized that this is the time when the change will happen. If Yosser is not being answered, the Kahuna will go to Tzadok. The Gemara in Yuman, Daf Ayin Gimel, discusses exactly how the Urim V'Tumim worked. The one asking would stand in front of the Aron, and they'd face the Aron, and the one responding. But I just wanted to mention the Ramban. The Ramban also elaborates on this in Parshas Tetzaveh, when it talks about the Urim V'Tumim. And the Ramban says as follows. The Ramban says that the Urim V'Tumim, ki hayu shemos kedoshim, they were holy names of Hashem that were placed inside the Choshen. Mikolchem yo'iru ha'osios, and the power of these letters caused that the letters on the stones of the Choshen would light up. Or on the Choshen it had all the names of the Shvatim. According to Chazal it said Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and Shivtei Yishurun. All those words had many different letters. And the letters would light up with the power of these names of Hashem. And he discusses in examples of how, for instance, the word Yehuda, Yala, so Yehuda, that word would light up, and the Yala would take a Yud from here, and an Ayin from there, and the different letters would come up and would shine, and the Kohen had to know how to put together the letters. I can give you a jumble of letters, and you don't necessarily know how it should be read. But the Kohen had to be mechavein, he had to have certain kavanos in order to cause the letters to light up. It had to be done with special kavanos, I'm sure Alpi Kabbalah. And he also had, there were other shemos, avol hayu sham shemos hakodesh acherim. And then the Ramban says, in the Choshen there were other names for Hashem, nikroim tumim, and mikochem yelev hakohen tamim. And that would, these other names of Hashem would give the heart of the Kohen the understanding to know how to read it. And he concludes, V'zos madrega mi madregas ruach hakodesh. This is a level of ruach hakodesh to know how to use the Urim V'Tumim. He lamata min hanavuah. It's less than being a Novi. It's not a prophet if you can use the Urim V'Tumim. Ulamala mi bas kol shem ishtam shem bo v'bay yesheni. Lacha shaposka hanavuah. And the second Beis HaMikdash, there were no longer Nevi'im. There were a few Nevi'im that survived from earlier, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, but there were no new Nevi'im in the second Beis HaMikdash, and during the second Beis HaMikdash, there were not Nevi'im. But they had a baskol. When somebody had a question, there'd be very often a voice would come out from Shemayim, and they knew that this was the message. Somewhere in between being a Novi and being able to use a baskol came this category of Urim V'Tumim. So, if there were dinim, exactly who could ask and who could answer, but it required a certain siyata dishmaya was evident, the person who was Hashem was willing to use as this communication. And right now, Evyosa was not being used by Hashem. So they placed the Aron and they asked a question. It doesn't say what the question was, but Vayal Evyosa. As a result, Evyosa was removed, that it was understood he would not be the one to serve anymore as Kohen Gadol. Vayomer HaMelech Tzadok. The king said to Tzadok, Hoshev es Aron hu Elokim hoyir. Bring the Aron of Hashem back to the city. Obviously, the question wasn't, should we take the Aron? Because we'll see that the king is asking Tzadok what to do, and he says to Tzadok, bring the Aron back. Im em sochem be'enei Hashem, if I find favor in the eyes of Hashem, v'heshivani, Hashem will return me, v'hirani yoso, that I should see HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'esnoveyu in his dwelling place, I should come back and see the Shekhinah, and see the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem should have a dwelling place. If I'm Zoich, I'll be able to come back. V'imko yomar. But if Hashem says, Lo chafakti boch, I don't want you. You're leaving Yerushalayim, I don't want you. Avshalom is now going to be the king, and you've lost the Malchus. Hineni. So David says, I'm prepared. Hineni, here I am. Yasali kasher tov be'enov. Let Hashem do to me as is good in his eyes. He's makabel, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, will be. But don't bring the Aron. It's not right to bring the Aron together with me while I'm wandering around. Could be figured it's a bizoyon for the Aron to have to wander around like a fugitive as David is going. Maybe he figured it even would be a kitrug. The whole maisa with Shiloh was wrong. You don't just take the Aron out unless you have explicit permission. And we can assume that the question wasn't whether they should take the Aron out, because Tzadok was answered. Vayal of Yosef, whatever the question was, of Yosef couldn't give the answer, but Tzadok did. So the question must have been, what will happen with David? Will he be safe? Will he ever get back to Malchus? And the answer must have been that he doesn't have to worry about Avshalom. But the question wasn't about the Aron, and David on his own realized that Hoshev es Aron hu Elokim hoyir, bring the Aron back to the city. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is that I should do tshuva. And I should accept the Yisurim. This was a punishment that was foretold by the Navi. And when a person, certain times a person just has to, there's no quick fix. You can't just snap your fingers and do an easy thing and figure you'll bring the Aron with you and everything will be good. We got the Aron on our side. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants now. The Aron should go back to Yerushalayim. And David will see the process of tshuva that he does and as he accepts these Yisurim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do as he sees fit. Vayomer HaMelech El Tzadok HaKohen. Now the king says to Tzadok HaKohen, Haroe Ato, do you see? Do you understand? Do you see the advisability of what I'm suggesting? And if so, Shuvah Ha'ir B'Shalom, return to the city in peace. David would like Tzadok. The Aron is going to go back to Yerushalayim, and Tzadok should go also. And we'll see in a moment that Yosef should go also. He's sending back his main, the Kohanim, he's sending the main group back. Haroa Ata, do you see the correctness in this approach? Shuvah ha'ir b'shalom, return to the city in peace. V'achimatz bincha, and your son Achimatz, the son of Tzadok, Bihonosan ben Evyosar, and Evyosar also had a son. Shnei Benechem, your two sons, Itchem, should be with you. I'd like the two of you to go back to the city, and you'll be going back with your sons. And here you see he's addressed by Yomer HaMelech El Tzadok HaKohen. He's referred to as the Kohen. The first time it's just by Yomer HaMelech with Tzadok. The king said to Tzadok, which the Mephorshim understand, he said to Tzadok, let's see if you can give an answer. And then, obviously, the answer, Tzadok was able to give an answer, and now it's Vayomer HaMelech El Tzadok HaKohen. And he said to him, return to the city with your sons. Re'u si anochi misma mea. I'm going to be tarrying, I'm going to be delaying where I am. Ba'avros HaMidbar. It's written Ba'avros. In the area of the desert where everyone passes by. The road. The Kri is Ba'arvos, which means in the plain and the flat land of the desert. Both meanings just add a little more understanding and meaning to it, but the Arvos HaMidbar, I'm going to wait in this place. I bowed over me, Mochem, until I hear a report from you, Lahagidli, that you'll tell me what I should do. So David would like them to go back to Yerushalayim, and their sons will be available, and when they find out what's happening and what Avshalom's course of action will be, they should come back, they should send their two sons as a messenger to David to tell David what should be done. The Malbim learns that the question was, the question that he had asked, Vayomer HaMelech L'Tzadok, the king had said to Tzadok that he should ask the Urim B'Tumim, and the king wasn't sure if Yosef wasn't answered because the Aron wasn't in Yerushalayim, because they took the Aron out of Yerushalayim, if Yosef asked the question and he didn't get an answer. Is that because the Aron was not in its right place, the Aron has to be brought back to Yerushalayim, or was it the fault that if Yosef wasn't Zoche? So he told him, bring the Aron back to Yerushalayim. And then he asked Tzadok to see which exactly would Tzadok be answered before it's brought back to Yerushalayim, or would they have to bring it back to Yerushalayim? And Tzadok was answered that they should go back, that the letters Shuvo Ha'ir B'Shalom were part of the answer. The king said to Tzadok HaKohen, Haroa Ata, do you see that the Urim B'Tumim is giving a message of Shuvo Ha'ir B'Shalom? Now those three words can mean two different things. It can be a promise to David that Shuvo Ha'ir, you will return to the city B'Shalom in peace, that you'll come back safely. It could also be a message as a command. Shuvo Ha'ir, return to the city. So David understood, as it's a command, that the Kohanim should go back with the Aron. And it's also a promise to him that Urim B'Tumim are answering that he shouldn't be afraid of Avshalom, that he will return to the city. Vayoshev Tzadok ve'Avyosar. Tzadok and Avyosar returned Es Aron Ho'elokim, the Aron of Hashem, Yerushalayim to Yerushalayim, Vayeshvu Shom, and then they remained in Yerushalayim. The term is used, Aron Ho'elokim. And in fact, in Pasuk Chof Dalet also it says, the Aron Briso Elokim, and they placed the Aron Ho'elokim. This was a point of Midas Hadin. David HaMelech realized that he's getting the punishment. It's not a time where Hashem is showing him the Chesed and the Rachamim. He's now going through a dark period of his life, a period of suffering, and he's going to be Makabel, and he is Makabel what Hashem is doing. The David Ola, David was going up, B'male HaZesim, on the way up he was ascending on Har HaZesim, going up the mountain. Ola, he was going up, uvocha, and crying. V'rosh lo chafui, and his head was covered, as a sign of mourning they used to cover the head. Almost like an embarrassment, as a sign Hashem is punishing them. They didn't want to look at people. People shouldn't see their face. They covered their face. V'hu holeich yochev, and he was going barefoot. Again, it's David HaMelech, this incident, it was years earlier, it was 7 years earlier, that Nathan had told him this punishment was going to happen. But David lived with the reality of this, I say, 7 years later. You know, you could imagine a person of a lesser stature just gathering together his army and immediately putting down their revolt. You know, this was 1, 2, 3, Avshalom won the heart of the people, but David probably could have mustered the forces to put down the rebellion. But David, he left on foot. Now he's going up crying. Roshla is certainly, in terms of battling Avshalom, this is not the way to go into war. If he had a fear that Avshalom would chase him, he's just breaking the spirit, the whole morale of all of his people. But that was, David knew clearly, this was Min HaShemayim, and it has nothing to do with Avshalom, especially if we learned the Urim B'Tumim said that he would be safe. He, Avshalom was sort of out of his mind now. The point is he's got to find favor by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he's climbing up the mountain. Yesterday he might have been king, but he's climbing up today crying, and everyone else is crying with him. V'chol ha'am asher ito chafu ishrosho. Everyone else has their head covered. They're walking up like a group of mourners. V'olu olu, and just going up and up, further up the mountain, uvocho, with a constant crying. Why was he going up the mountain? Now, Barbanel brings down some portion, say he went up the mountain because from Har HaZeisim, for those that have been zochet to see, you have a beautiful view of Yerushalayim. Har HaZeisim is the mountain opposite the Har HaBayis. So if you go on the Har HaZeisim, in fact, the Bizman Beis HaMikdash, it says the Kohen Gadol, when they prepared the Parah Aduma, it was done on Har HaZeisim. And from there they could look into the Beis HaMikdash. But from Har HaZeisim, he could look into Yerushalayim and see the place of the Aron. The Aron used to be kept in a tent, and he could see that place. And that's why he wanted to go up. We'll see shortly, he bowed down, he wanted to daven. That was an ideal place. The Avarbanel himself rejects that explanation, and he says, why should he climb up the mountain to face the Makom HaAron, the place where the Aron was? He had the Aron with him. Or maybe it just left, but the Aron was with him just right before this. So he didn't have to go and face. It's like somebody who has the Sefer Torah and he wants to daven facing the Aron Kodesh. He's got the Torah with him. He's got the Aron with him. He wouldn't have to face the tent where it stayed. So others learn he was going toward the desert. And in fleeing Yerushalayim, he didn't want to go through the settled towns and the cities. He was going toward the desert. The route happened to lead through Har HaZeisim. That's the way to leave Yerushalayim. If he's going, as we learned before, in Pasuk Chav Gimel, everyone was going al pnei derech es hamidbor. They were going toward the desert. So the route led to Har HaZeisim. It could also be he wanted to go to Har HaZeisim where he could see what was happening in Yerushalayim. He could see if there was an upheaval, was there a tumult, was everything peaceful, what was happening in the city. He could have an ideal view. Also, if Avshalom should come after him, he would have the upper terrain. He would be at the top of the mountain. It's a better position to be in. But whatever it was, he's climbing up the mountain with his head covered, crying, and barefoot. This is all part of his tshuva to show Bifarhesia in public. As he had done tshuva all these years. But now, at the moment of punishment, he made a public display of his bitterness over his Averis and his tshuva. Now, even though he was crying, at the same point, it was mixed with simcha. I don't know if it was at the same time or there were different intervals, but the Gemara says in Brachos, on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, in Tehillim it says, Mizmor leDavid, a Mizmor, a psalm, a song to David, Bevorchom ibnei Avshalom b'no, when he fled from his son Avshalom. Mizmor leDavid, the Gemara says, why do you mean a song of David when he fled from Avshalom? Kino leDavid mi boile, it should say it's a lament. It's a mourning. He has to run away for his life from his own son. Well, what's the song about? And Amr of Shimon ben Avishalom, Moshel Amad Avar Doimer, the Gemara brings an explanation. It's a moshel to a person who has a shtar chov. He has a debt. He has to pay up a certain amount of money. And he has no idea how he's going to do it. And the whole time he's worried, what's going to be? They're going to foreclose. He doesn't know how he's going to handle this shtar chov. And he's despondent and sad the whole time. After he pays up the debt, he's happy. Now he's got a clean record. So too, David HaMelech knew, Hineni meikim alecha ra mi beisecha, what we learned before, from his own household, somebody was going to rise up against him. And he was afraid. Maybe it would be an Eved. Maybe it would be a Mamzer. I assume the pshat is, why was he worried about a Mamzer? He cares about the person's yichus. But the Gemara says that a mamzer has flaws in character. That midos, certain basic midos that Klal Yisrael have, are based on the purity of the parents, has a profound effect on the child's midos. And of course, the child has to work on it, the person has bechira, but certain people do start life with an advantage. Just like certain, many advantages a child gets from the parents. And midos are also transmitted. And if somebody's a mamzer, his midos are, he's got a major strike against him. You know, so if David was afraid, maybe an eved or a mamzer would rise up against him. The lochayis Allah, he wouldn't have rachmanis on me. And now that he saw it was his own son Avshalom, how bad could it be? Or even if he loses the throne. So his son will be the king, and his son won't go. He was assuming he was the chazad Avshalom who sameach. Samach. He rejoiced. He'd be, oh, it's his son Avshalom. At least his life is saved. David didn't think Avshalom would come and kill him. David felt secure. Mishum hachi omar mizmar. It's at the same moment that he's mourning and he's suffering. It has this, at this point, Mizmor le David b'varchu b'nei Avshalom b'no. Somehow through the tears, there's a positive, there's a goodness even in the midst of this tragedy. So he said a Mizmor le David when he was fleeing from Avshalom. There's a Medrash that says, similar, Mizmor le David. So the Medrash says, the Me'am Lois brings it down. What do you mean a song for David? He's crying. He's crying. And the Medrash says a little differently, a mashal as follows. It's like a king who had a son and he drove his son out of the house. And then he sent the Rebbe, the Machanach, to see how the child is doing. He sent the tutor, see how the boy's doing. And he comes and he finds that the son is crying and he's singing. So he says, how come you're crying and you're singing? So the boy answered, I'm crying because I see the anguish I caused my father, that he drove me out of the house. So I'm crying. But I'm singing because when he drove me out, he sent me in good company. The people he drove me out, I had to leave the capital. But he went to a good community. He went to a good place to see how his father at least let him go to a nice place. So there's a positive thing, and because of that he was singing. So too the Medrash says, David HaMelech said, he's crying, he's fleeing from his son. But on the other hand, Yaakov Avinu had to flee. Right? He fled from Esau. And Moshe Rabbeinu fled when he left Mitzrayim. And Eliyahu HaNavi, there's a Maisa, fled when he was running away from Achav. So David HaMelech said, you know, I'm running away like they're running away. You have Yaakov, Moshe, Eliyahu. This again, it's the Medrash seems to play that... Understand it, that in the midst of the crying, you can have this Mizmor le David. David was able to see the positive. And the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Perek Kuf Yutes, Zacharti Mishpatecha Meyolam. I remember your Mishpatim, the way you judge, the way you punish people, Meyolam, the way it's always been. I look back on history. Hashem, I remember your Mishpatim, Hashem, Voesnechom, and I'm comforted. David HaMelech, so you know, he's taka suffering, but there were a lot of great tzaddikim who had to flee and have their yisurim in this world. Okay. He's not the only one. So he was able to sing. But David higid lemor. David told over saying, Achitofel bakoshrim im Avshalom. Achitofel is among the rebels. He's part of the rebellion. Im Avshalom, he's with Avshalom. The Pashup shot is as if it would say, Ula David Higid. To David it was told that Avshalom, that Achitofel joined Avshalom. Vayomer David, and David said, Sakil noas atas Achitofel. Make foolish now, or please, make foolish the advice of Achitofel, Hashem. Hashem, please make whatever advice Achitofel gives, make it foolish. Either it should mean that whatever advice he gives should be foolish. Or it could be he'll give good advice, but it'll be viewed and accepted as nonsense. And I will be dismissed, and Avshalom won't follow it. And we're going to see later on, this is going to be one of the exciting parts of the story, Achitofel is going to give Avshalom advice what to do, and we'll see in a moment, Hushai Ho'arki is going to give conflicting advice. And Hushai is on David's side. Hushai is David HaMelech's friend that we're going to see shortly. And if Avshalom would follow Achitofel, David would be killed. Achitofel was out to kill David. And this tefillah of Sakel Noas Atzas Achitofel, Hashem, Hashem, make Achitofel's advice foolish, that it won't be followed. This tefillah of David HaMelech was accepted, and we'll see as a result, his life was spared. It could also mean V'David Higid Lamor, David told over, he announced to the people, I realized that Achitofel is part of the rebellion. He had left, there were hundreds of thousands of people accompanying David. We had just the 600 people from Gaza. And all of his servants went, and there were children. He probably had a group of thousands. And everyone knew that Avshalom made himself king. So if everyone knew Avshalom made himself king, and David was leaving Yerushalayim with a whole tremendous group, and David saw everyone who went by, and Achitofel wasn't there. David could be on his own realized Achitofel's part of the rebellion. And Achitofel was the person we'll see about more later. His advice was always precise and right on target. And David, this is what David was afraid of. Achitofel is bakoshim im Avshalom. Achitofel is part of the rebellion. Vayhi David bo'ad ha'roish. David was coming to the top of the mountain. Asher yishtachav Hashem le'elokim, the place where he would daven, he would bow down to Hashem. Again, could be he was planning to daven. There are those mafarshim who learn he wanted to face the Mokom Ha'aron, where the Aron was kept in Yerushalayim. Or it could be after he realized that Achitofel was not with him, Achitofel was with the rebellion, he came to the top of the mountain and now he was going to daven. Because there was an additional urgency to this tefillah. And others learn, Asher yishtachav Hashem le'elokim, Even when they had the Mishkan and they had, even during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, there were places that people had to daven. It wasn't all in Yerushalayim. People who were at a distance had their Mokom Tefillah. And David HaMelech very often went to war and he traveled around. And he had a place, Asher Yishtachav Hashem Le'elokim, on the top of Har HaZeisim. He didn't wait till he got to Yerushalayim. On the top of Har HaZeisim, he had a place where there he used to daven. And now that he reached the top of the mountain, he was in this special place. He was going to daven. V'hinei likros ochushai ho'arki. V'hinei in a chiddush, he didn't expect it over here. He had traveled the whole distance, and now at the top of the mountain, all of a sudden he meets chushai ho'arki. Chushai the arki. Poshup shad in ho'arki, he came from a city called Arki. It says in Yehoshua Perek Tez Zion, that's part of Shevet Ephraim. That was the name of the city. And his name was Hushai. Hushai from that place. It could also mean Ho'arki. Arki means to be long. That because of him, the Malchus of David was extended. He's going to be critical to bringing David back to the Malchus and to working things out for David's betterment. He's the one who lengthened the Malchus. And another pshat is Arki is Kamin Arucha. Arucha is a cure, is a healing. Hushai is going to bring a healing and a refuah to David that he suffered such tragedies. He's going to comfort David and bring him consolation. B'nei was to Hushai Arki. So Hushai Arki came to greet David. Karua kutonto. His shirt, his tunic was torn. V'adom al rosho, and he put dirt on his head as a sign of also that he's Imo Anochi Vitzara, he's suffering together with David. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is actually very, very shocking, the way the Gemara learns. But it's a tremendous lesson. And the Gemara says like this, on Daf Kuf Zayin, the Gemara in Chelek discusses this. Va'amarav Yehuda Amarav. Vikesh David lavod avodah zarah. David HaMelech wanted to serve avodah zarah. Shenemar, because this pasuk says, Vayhi David bo ad haroish. David came ad haroish to the head. What do you mean he came to the head? It's an unusual term. He came ad haroish. Asher yishtachav Hashem le'elokim, where he would bow down to Hashem. What's this term, rosh? Ve'ein rosh el avodah zarah. So Gemara says, the term rosh is referring to an idol. It's referring to Avodah Zarah. Because you find in Daniel, when he put up the statue, the Nebuchadnezzar made the big statue, it says, Hutzalma Reshe Di Dahav Tov, the statue had a head that was gold. The head represents Avodah Zarah. And Hushai comes to meet him with a torn tunic, Vadom al Rosho, and dirt on his head. Omer lo David, he said to David, Yomru Melech Shekamoyscha Yavod Avodah Zarah. People are going to say a king like you is serving Avodah Zarah. Omer lo. So David HaMelech responded, Melech Shekamosi Yargenu Benoi. A king like me should be killed by his son. That's what I mean, a king like me, how can I serve Avodah Zarah? Take a look what's about to happen. Avshalom might come and kill David. Mutav Yavod Avodah Zarah v'yischal Hashem Shemayim b'farhesia. It's better, I should serve Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah should be served, and don't make a chil Hashem Shemayim b'farhesia. What David did was a tremendous thought and a machshava. David HaMelech's suffering could be taken as a tremendous chil Hashem. David HaMelech is such a chassid. David is such an oyved Hashem. Look at this. His own son is ready to kill him. David HaMelech again figured, you know what? Let me go and be oyved Avodah Zarah. And everybody will say, you see, David HaMelech is a Rasha. And then whatever happens to him with Avshalom, it doesn't make a chil Hashem. David HaMelech is a Rasha, and that's why he's suffering. But to go on like this and to present yourself as a big tzaddik, and then to suffer, that's a chil Hashem Shemayim. Better to do Avodah Zarah and don't make such a chil Hashem Shemayim before I ask you. The Mefarshim, by the way, point out it doesn't even have to be the Marsha says. It could be, the Gemara says in at the end of Ksuvis, if somebody leaves Eretz Yisrael, it's almost like he's serving Avodah Zarah. Also, like David HaMelech had said earlier in Shmuel, Ki gershuni hayom istapech benachlas Hashem. It's like you drove me out of Eretz Yisrael, saying leich avod elohim acherim. Go serve idols. In other words, in Eretz Yisrael you feel the hashgacha of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and in Chutz Laaretz it's almost you feel that other power. You don't feel the hashgacha the same. You don't feel Hashem's supervision. So in a certain extent, it's like he's serving idols or other mafreshim. So it could be David HaMelech was saying, not mamish to serve idols, but he was saying, let him do something that people shouldn't think he's so great. Do something to similar to serving idols. Or maybe it means he'll be a chotev eitzim, v'shoev mayim, he'll cut wood, he'll draw water, he'll do something that enables the idol worshippers to do their thing. He'll like help out, but not literally to serve idols. Whatever it was, David was looking to minimize people shouldn't think he's so holy. Because the holier he is, the greater a chil Hashem it is. Amar loy. Amar. So Hushai Arki said, why are you saying this? My time of conceivas Yefas Toar. Why did you marry Yefas Toar? In other words, you seem to feel like, in other words, it's obvious Avshalom turned out this way because Avshalom's mother came from a Goyisha background. She was captured in war. From Yefas Toar, a wife like that, they have a child like Avshalom. It's not a reflection on you. Avshalom is acting this way because he comes from Yefas Toar. Omer Leis, so David HaMelech said to him, Yefas Toar Rachmona Shariyeh. The Torah permits the Yefas Toar. There was nothing done wrong in taking her. Omer Leis, so Hushai Arki said, Lo Darshis Smuchim. You didn't darshan the fact that one parsha of the Torah is next to the other. If you look in Kiseitse, where it mentions about a person taking a Yefas Toar, to Samechle, it says right afterwards, Kiyel Ish Ben Tzoru Moreh. Kohanose Yefas Toar Yeshlo Ben Tzoru Moreh. Yeah, you're right. It's allowed to take a Yefas Toar. But the Torah also tells you certain things are permitted. But the person who takes the Yefas Toar, afterwards it discusses Ben Soru Moreh, what a person does if he has a son who's rebellious. Because coming from such a mother, even if it's allowed, it doesn't produce a good offspring. So what he was saying was, Hushai HaArki was saying to David, Chas v'shalom, you shouldn't do anything to minimize, not to be Oyved Avodah Zarah. Don't lower his madrega on Avodah Hashem. And the way the Mefarshim explain it, He was telling him, it's well known, tzaddikim get their punishment in this world. And it shouldn't be taken as a chilul Hashem. Those who know realize that the tzaddikim, the very fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the tzaddikim are suffering, you see that even the tzaddikim, there's a midas hadin and everything has a cheshbon, just they get it in this world. And their reward is safe for Olam Haba. And the fact that David HaMelech is suffering is not a chilul Hashem. That's the way. The tzaddikim are punished for even their smallest averus in this world. Vayomer lo David. David said to him, Im avarta iti, if you would pass with me, v'yisolai l'masa, you would be a burden for me. Chushay ha'arki, I appreciate you coming, but as the Ralbag says, could be he wasn't strong, he wasn't a fighter, he might have been very old and he had to travel slower. And David appreciated Chushai coming. We'll see in a moment what he tells Chushai, but for you to wander with us would just make it more difficult. V'im ha'ir toshuv, if you return to the city, v'amartel Avshalom, and you'll say to Avshalom, Avdecha, your servant, meaning referring to himself as, I'm your servant. Ani ha'melech ehye. Now, this pasuk is very difficult to translate. But ani hamel, I'll be the servant of you, the king. Eved avicha v'ani me'oz. V'atza v'ani avdecha. It's hard to translate it. The Mefarshim have a number of ways of understanding it, but none of the ways really fits in smoothly. It could be translated as follows. Tell Avshalom, avdecha ani hamelech eye. Your servant, I will be toward the king. Now, you Avshalom are the king, I'll be your servant. Eved avicha v'ani me'oz. I was a servant of your father previously. Chushai is going to tell Avshalom, I was always a good friend of David. V'atza v'ani avdecha. And now I'm going to be your servant. Orakami, he's saying, avdecha hani hamelech. That I will... Avdecha ani hamelech. I'm your servant, the king of Shalom. Eye eved avicha? Do you think I'm going to be an eved to your father? V'ani me'oz v'atzav ani avdecha. I've always been on your side. You might have figured I was with David, and that's before you made your kingship official. But I was always really with you. It could be saying, Avdecha ani hamelech. Tell him that it's not a complete rebellion. Tell Avshalom that you're backing Avshalom and you feel that this is all David HaMelech. I understand that you don't want Shlomo HaMelech to be the king. You don't want Shlomo HaMelech to be the king and you want to be king. But you don't have to look at it as if it's you against David. Avdecha ani HaMelech. I'm your servant. You, Avshalom, the king. Eye eved avicha, and I'll be a servant to your father also. V'ani me'oz v'atza v'ani avdecha, but I'm going to be your servant, as if to say, I can serve David HaMelech, and I can serve you, because you can make peace with David. And the point is that Shlomo HaMelech won't be the king, you Avshalom will be the king. And by saying that, v'fartali is atzasachi tofo, you will be able to thwart and nullify the counsel of Achitofel. Achitofel is going to advise Avshalom to make it an all-out war and to go kill David. That's going to be Achitofel's idea. And Chushai is going to be the opposing idea and tell Avshalom, David HaMelech is not against you, and he's willing to accept the fact that you're the king. I'm sure he could back it up by the fact that David didn't put together an army. David is walking barefoot and mourning. But David HaMelech is willing to accept the status quo. He's not preparing to fight. And Chushai is going to say, I'm going to be your servant, I was David's servant, and it's not a steer, and things can be just worked out, that David will accept you that as the heir to the Malchus. Some apportions say that whatever the message was, I say there are different ways of understanding it, it's purposely not written so clearly, because even in the cases where a person should say an untruth, he should try to avoid it from being totally a lie, but try to say it in a way that is not so blatantly a lie. it's still not the truth, and still ordinarily not allowed. But in a case where a person is allowed to say what we call a sheker, in a case where you're allowed to lie, but it's still better to do it in a way that it's not so obvious. Like when Yaakov came to Yitzchak to get the brochas, he said, Anochi, I am Esav b'charecha, Esav your firstborn. Which could mean, not that I'm Esav, I am Esav is your b'char. Now of course he's fooling Yitzchak, but that was allowed. But even when it's allowed, it should be done in this way. So he spoke in a way that's very ambiguous. I'm your servant, the king, and I'll be a servant of your father, and I always was, and now, and I'm your servant. It's really not clear what he's saying. But how exactly he said it, we'll see. Balo im chashon, and David HaMelech tells him, with you over there is tzaduk v'evyasar ha-kohanim. You have tzaduk and evyasar the kohanim. V'hoya kol ha-dover asher tishma b'beis ha-melech. Any news that you hear from the royal house of Avshalom, again he calls Avshalom the Melech, Tagi the Tzaduk of Yosar HaKohanim. You should report to Tzaduk and of Yosar the Kohanim. V'nei Shom Imam Shnei V'nei, and they have their two sons, Achimatz, Tzaduk V'honason Lev Yosar, who shlach them V'yodam Eli, you'll send them to me, Koldova Shutishmo, whatever news they'll hear. V'yobo Chushai Reya David Ha'ir, Chushai, the friend of David, came to the city Yerushalayim, Avshalom Yavu Yerushalayim, and at that same time, Avshalom was entering Yerushalayim, and Hushai came into Yerushalayim, and he has the whole plan now that he's going to inform David of anything that happens through the Kohanim. He'll convey the message to Tzaduk and Avyasar, they'll tell their sons, and their sons will come to David, and they'll report exactly what's happening and what David should do.
For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.